but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. I invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Again, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me." But while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Verses 1 through 20, Matthew chapter 28, all of chapter 28. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful and the powerful and the tremendous story of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you came into this world. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for our sins, and 3 days later you rose up from the dead so that we could be saved. Thank you for the wonderful story of the resurrection. Father, help us to grow in our understanding of how important that powerful story really is to each of us who know you as Lord and Savior, and how important it is to us as the church, a tool to help us carry the wonderful news that Jesus saves to a world that desperately needs to hear that message. Lord, help us to grow in our desire and our passion to be about the work of sharing the gospel all over the world and telling the wonderful news that Jesus has risen from the dead and made a way for us all to be saved. We thank you and praise you for the chance to be involved in this great work. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. And today, as we look into the Word of God, we're looking at a couple of the resurrection stories. Now, I want you to keep this in mind, that the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all tell the wonderful story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, as you read through it, it has lots of details, some of which are a little bit sometimes sort of tough to read about the way they abused the Lord Jesus Christ so tremendously. But you know, it's good to read through them, good to read through each of them. And I would encourage you to take the time to read at least all the way through one of the Passion stories. Now, in Matthew chapter 26 and 27 and 28 tell the story basically of Christ's arrest, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. And of course, chapter 28 that we just read tells the story of the resurrection of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew. In Mark, chapters 14 and 15 tell of his arrest and his crucifixion, and chapter 16 tells of his resurrection in the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Luke, chapters 22 and 23 tell of his passion, that is specifically of his arrest, his crucifixion, and specifically chapter 24 is the story of the resurrection of Christ in the Gospel of Luke. And then finally, in the Gospel of John, chapters 18 and 19 tell of his arrest, his passion, his crucifixion, and then chapter 20 tells of his resurrection. And chapter 21 in the Gospel of John is the only of the four Gospels that tells the story, this particular unique story, that takes place after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of them carry the story of the passion of Christ, that is specifically the story that includes his arrest, his crucifixion, and his resurrection from the dead. I would encourage you, make time to go back and read through them. And I would encourage you to take time, parents, help your children to read through these as well, coming up to the day we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because again, it tells the story of what Jesus went through. It's important to really understand that it cost so much, but Jesus was willing to pay the price in order to make a way for us to be saved. And we don't need to take that lightly. You know, the fact is, a person can do all that they typically do to celebrate Resurrection Day and not take time to read through these. But remember, if you do that, you're going to miss out on some important truths that the Holy Spirit would like to drive home to you in your mind and your heart about the meaning behind the resurrection. And remember this, evangelism and discipleship is a huge part of the goal behind our better understanding the story of Christ's passion. Because remember, this is not just about knowing the story. It's about knowing why Jesus did all this, knowing why he came into the world, why he lived, why he died on the cross, and why he rose again from the dead so that we could be saved and spend all eternity with the Lord. In fact, Jesus himself went to hell for us so that we wouldn't have to go. So it's important to really look at the story and understand why we focus on it and why we're to learn from it and draw wisdom, passion, and encouragement from the stories as well. So again, looking at Matthew chapter 28 once again, notice again, each of the resurrection stories have some different details that the other does not have. Each one is a powerful testimony of Christ's resurrection. But keep in mind, reading through each of them is very good. So again, all four resurrection stories are found. Again, Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and John chapter 20. Those are the four chapters that contain specifically the story of Christ's resurrection from each of the Gospels. Again, I would encourage you to take time to read through all four of them. And parents, I would encourage you to help your children read through them as well, because they're powerful stories, and each one, as I said, contains a bit of a different angle from the other, but all of them are correct. All of them have powerful wisdom, powerful and encouragement to be given to believers as we read about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Matthew 28, starting at verse 1, once again, it tells us these words. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. Now, keep in mind, it's very powerful to keep this very important truth in mind, that, of course, it was women who were following Christ were the first ones to come to the tomb. Now, notice it goes on to say in verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Now, the first persons to come to the tomb were specifically women who served the Lord and followed the Lord. A number of women came to the tomb, and the first one to carry the story that he has risen, of course, is Mary Magdalene. And I think it's powerful to note, too, that God chose to use women. They were the first ones at the tomb as well. And, you know, it's disappointing to think that there are those that would try to say, well, women can't preach the gospel. Well, the reality is they were the first ones to preach the gospel, the story that Christ has risen from the dead. And of course, many of them do a wonderful job of doing the same thing today. All of us, every believer, is supposed to be preaching the gospel that we're carrying the message to the world that Jesus has risen from the dead and made a way for us to be saved. So the first ones to carry that message were the women who were at the tomb. Now notice also an important place in the resurrection story. There's an important place important part that angels played. Notice in verse 2 it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Now, angels, remember, are messengers from God. the supernatural beings that serve the Lord. Now, keep in mind, of course, demons are fallen angels who disobeyed God and who are serving Satan. But the reality is the majority of angels that function both in the world and in heaven are angels that love God and follow God faithfully. And of course, when it refers to angels in this regard specifically, these are angels serving the Lord. This angel came back, and notice what it says specifically. The angel, he came from heaven. He rolled back the stone. In other words, the stone was moved by an angel. Now, you might ask, well, why didn't Jesus move the stone? Well, obviously, Jesus could have moved the stone because Jesus made the angels. But he didn't. He just chose to use the angels to roll back the stone. But keep in mind, Jesus really didn't have to have the stone rolled back for him, because Jesus at this point could walk through walls and obviously walk through stones and stones as well. But the tomb needed to be open so people could see the inside of the tomb, that it was empty. And of course, if you know the story, the angel rolled the stone off from the door and he sat on the stone. Why did he sit on it? Well, I think that's one more indication of the superior power and glory of God. The angel didn't just roll the stone away. He sat on it. It was underneath him. Verse 3 says, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The angel represented the kingdom of God and represented God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And specifically, his clothing represent the light of God, the grace of God, and the glory of God as well. Verse 4 says, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Now, keep in mind, the guards were sent to the grave to secure the grave. Their job was to be sure that no one came and stole the body of Jesus out. But of course, obviously, as you know the story, there was no way the guards came anywhere close to keeping the grave secure, because it was the power of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God that moved the stone away. And it was the power of God that through which Christ was raised from the dead. There was no way those puny guards could keep that from happening in any shape, form, or fashion. So the guards shook for fear like dead men. And again, an indication of the superior kingdom and power of God, obviously. The guards, which represent the Roman army, the human power, were, again, powerless in the face of the power of God. There was nothing they could do to prevent the resurrection whatsoever. And again, here they are shaking for fear as if they were like, and it says they became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Now, keep in mind, remember, the angel has rolled the stone away, not necessarily for Jesus' sake at all, because Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away. He could have walked through the stone if he'd wanted to. But the stone needed to be rolled away so that the world could see that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was no longer there. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the many ways that the story demonstrates your power, your glory, your grace, your mercy, your goodness, your love, and so much more. Lord, help us to grow much in our understanding of the wonder behind this powerful story, and help us to grow in our desire to tell the world the wonderful story that Jesus Christ loved us so much that he came into this world, he lived, he died on the cross to pay for our sins, and 3 days later, he rose up from the dead so that we could be saved. Father, help us to do all we can to help preach the gospel wherever we go so that we can help to take as many people as we possibly can with us to heaven. And Lord, help us to never take this lightly, this important responsibility. Guide us and teach us and empower us by your Spirit every day of our lives to be involved in the wonderful work of sharing the gospel with the world. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking today at a passion for the passion of Christ. We'll be right back.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
I had an opportunity to speak at my church recently, and I spoke from Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. In this scripture, Moses is given instruction from God concerning the children of Israel and what he is to say to Pharaoh. I thought it was interesting that God used Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt straight into a desert experience. When the Lord gave instruction to Moses, he said, "Tell Pharaoh to let my people go so that they may serve me." Oftentimes when things get hard, we tend to pull away from our relationship with the Lord. Oftentimes when we are in our dry place, we forget that this isn't God's first rodeo. He's gotten us out of or kept us in our dry places before. For the children of Israel, their journey to Canaan was only supposed to be 11 days, but because of their murmuring and complaining, it lasted 40 years. Remember the next time you have your desert experience, how you get in will certainly dictate how you come out. Trust God in the desert place and don't forget to worship. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Here's what you missed on Airing the Addisons.
I'll say this. What I think needs to happen is I think the husband needs to, never in front of anybody, because an audience always escalates a situation. It could be something real simple that the two of you have discussed before, but when you've got eyes, a second set of eyes, I don't care who it is.
You're right.
Right? It always escalates a situation. And you could say something the way you would always say it, always talk about it, but one element different, just having one person, now it's a performance. You see what I'm saying?
Definitely.
And so you always want to make sure that you don't do that. And so I think if, you know, speaking as a wife, I want to know as close to that moment as possible in a way that protects my feelings that I have injured you.
Tune in weekday mornings, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Thank you.
Music from the Planet Shakers, the song The Anthem. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're looking at Matthew chapter 28 as we're focusing on the topic today of a passion for the passion of Christ. And again, we're encouraging you, please take time during this week, the week coming up to Resurrection Day, take time to read through all four of the resurrection stories. Now, of course, an even better thing to do is read through all the passions as well as the resurrection story. Now, again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Again, Matthew 28 is the resurrection story in Matthew, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and John chapter 20. But basically, the two chapters prior to each of these chapters tell the story of the arrest and crucifixion. That is, you know, specifically what we'd refer to as the passion of Christ. And it's very helpful to read it because, again, it helps you get a much fuller picture of the great hardship and difficulty and torture that Christ went through, but that he was willing to go through in order for us to be saved. And so it helps us to better understand what the Lord went through, but also it can stir a passion in us to want to sacrificially serve the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves. If God, the Son, was willing to do that for us, how much more should we be willing to sacrificially and passionately run after him and tell the world the news that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead so that we could be saved and carry that message to the world. So as we look at Matthew chapter 28, we're looking further. And let me say once again, parents, please be sure and take time to let your children read through one or more of the resurrection stories, because something really neat about children is when they get to reading. Now, sometimes whether they're reading because they're told to read or sometimes reading because they're glad to read, but either way, the Holy Spirit will start to work on their little hearts in a good way, in a wonderful way. Because the fact is, children typically ask questions about things that they're curious about. It's wonderful to allow them to read the powerful story of the resurrection of Jesus, because typically kids have questions and they many times we'll have wonderful questions, you know, why did this person do that? Why did they say this? Why did they act this way? But typically they're questions that are not only good for children. Dad and mom, you're going to learn some things from your children's questions, because children know how to ask good questions by the nature of who they are. So be sure and have your children to read these stories as well, because it'll stir their hearts and minister to them all at the same time. Have them read out loud to you, Dad and Mom. Don't just send them off to the room to read. Let them read out loud to you, because one of the reasons that's important is because when they have a question, pretty often they're going to stop and say, Dad or Mom, why did they say this? Why did they do this? And it'll give you a chance to try your best answer. Now, sometimes one of your best answers, Dad and Mom, is, I don't know, but we can try to find out. Because sometimes you do not have the answer. Sometimes you will. But it's good to let them ask the questions, because as they ask those questions that children ask, the Spirit of God will stir them and work on their minds and their hearts. Parents, be sure and let your children read through these and allow them to be blessed by the blessing will come from their reading of the resurrection stories. Again, looking further at Matthew chapter 28, verse 7 says, these are continuing the words of the angel, and go quickly to tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Now, keep in mind, only women were at the tomb initially, at the close to the time of the resurrection of Christ. Now, where were the other disciples? Well, to be quite honest, according to the Word of God, one of the Gospels lets us know at least John was at the cross, but the women were at the cross. The disciples were not at the cross, nor were they initially at the tomb. Where were they? Sadly, they were in hiding. They'd run away. They were fearful for their lives. But the women had both come to the cross, and the women came to the tomb as well. And I want to encourage every woman and man listening, be courageous like these women. Now, keep in mind, they could have been fearful for their lives by being at the cross with Christ as well. But now, again, John came to the cross, but not a single of the other disciples came to the cross as well. But the women were there. They were both at the cross and they were at the tomb as well. So again, they were witnesses, eyewitnesses of both Christ living and dying on the cross. And they were eyewitnesses of the fact that he had risen from the dead. And the first person to carry the gospel, the news he has risen, was Mary Magdalene. and some of the other ladies as well. Now, all of the Gospels are in agreement that the women were the first ones at the tomb, so there's no question about that then. So the angel is speaking to the women. And notice again, let me read again what the angel said, picking up at verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Now, then momentarily after that, they see Jesus picking up at verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So Jesus himself is seen by the women as well after they speak and see the angel too. Verse 11 goes on to explain another incident that takes place after that. Verse 11. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, there's real great tragedy surrounding this particular incident after the resurrection of Christ. Notice the guards, the Roman guards who were at the tomb, they witnessed the resurrection. They came in and told the scribes and Pharisees what had happened, the chief priests. And now you would think that the chief priests would have decided, well, he must be the Messiah. We better put our faith and trust in him. But sadly, that's not what happened at all. Remember, the chief priests, their concern was they wanted to hold on to power, their power and their influence. And they wanted to squelch Jesus and all his influence. So even after hearing from the eyewitness account from the Roman soldiers, they still didn't believe. And they even paid money to get them to lie. And you know how much like it was the world then as it is today. People took briberies way back then. And people take briberies all over the place today in our world as well. Briberies happen in political circles. Bribery happens in church circles. Bribery happens in business circles. Bribery happens in family circles. Bribery happens all over the place. Now, it may not carry the name bribery, but when you pay people money to do something wrong or wicked or deceptive, again, bribery can come in many different forms and carry many different names. But the fact is, wrong is wrong, and there's not a right way to do wrong. It was wrong of the soldiers to take the money and lie about it. And sadly, some people, probably even today, still go by the story of the Roman soldiers because they took the money and lied about it. Bribery is a terrible thing. It always has been and always will be. And I want to encourage every person, every believer listening, don't ever be one who takes a bribery to do something you know is wrong. Because again, not only does it end up hurting you, it can end up hurting a lot of other people who are deceived by the deception. So the soldiers took the money and were bribed and allowed that lie to continue. Well, it goes on to say in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now again, many of them, they even saw the Lord Jesus with their own eyes, but some still doubted. Now, keep in mind, we live in a world where if we allow it, doubt can creep in many different places and discourage or stop the work of the Lord in so many different situations. Be a person that stands on the Word of God and believes the Word of God. Don't allow doubt to creep in. Verse 18 goes on to say, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Here we find what we refer to as the Great Commission. And what an important commission it really, really is. Remember, this Great Commission is given to every believer in all the world. It's not just to pastors or or evangelists or preachers or missionaries. It's to every believer. All of us are to have an important part in the work of sharing the gospel with the world around us and making disciples as well. Every believer is supposed to be involved in the work of the spread of the gospel. Every one of us is to be investing in the work of sharing the gospel in the world. Every believer should prayerfully consider getting hold of gospel tracts that you can share as you go, sometimes taking time out of your week to specifically go places to carry and give away gospel tracts. Also, be ready to share your testimony of how the Lord saved you in many different settings, because there will be many opportunities for you to do that. Ask God to open more doors and opportunities for you to be involved in the work of the spread of the gospel. But remember, this is a command to all of us. So if you're listening today and you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, I don't ever share the gospel. That's not something I've ever really been interested in doing. Well, first you need to ask yourself, are you saved? Because if you're saved, then you're supposed to be involved in this very important work. But if you're saved and not involved in the spread of the gospel, what you need to do is you need to repent, ask God to forgive you, and ask the Lord to help you start today. Because this is a command to every believer in all the world. Remember, the Great Commission is a command. It's a command. Jesus didn't die on the cross and rise again from the dead just so people could dress up on Resurrection Day. He died to make a way for people to be saved, and that's what he wants his church to be involved in doing. Being involved in the spread of the gospel is the work of the church every day of our lives. So notice the words of the command he gives to each of us. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? We're to be doing our part to both share the gospel so people can be saved, but we don't stop there. We help people begin to grow up in their faith as well. So we should be involved in helping obviously those of your own household to come to be saved. And then once they're saved, helping them to grow up and grow strong in their faith as well. But also sharing the gospel with your neighbors in your neighborhood and in your community. Have you given out gospel tracts in your neighborhood? Have you shared the gospel with those who live around you? Sadly, we live in a world where there are many people, they don't even know their neighbors. I've never really had a conversation with them, much less not shared the gospel. Well, we can change that if we choose to. Be one that's willing to share the gospel so that your neighbors can come to be saved and go to heaven with you as well. But also, we don't stop there. One of the things we can do is get involved with the work of missions to where we can actually go to other places and other nations and carry the gospel as well. And in many instances where you yourself may not get to go, you can give of your finances to help missionaries that want to go, that are able to go and share the gospel in other places as well. But all of us have a part. We should never, ever be idle about the work of making disciples, because this work is too important. Remember this, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important institution in the whole world. We're called to carry the Word of God to the whole world, and the work we do is very important every single day. We have no time to waste, so all of us are to be vitally involved in this very important work. We're to take it seriously. We're to be praying that God would send forth more laborers, and praying that God would give us more and more opportunities to share the gospel. And we need to be taking the opportunities that we have. Now, if you're listening and you say, I don't have any opportunities, then you just don't understand. We can find them all over the place. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to be vessels through which you can reach and touch others and draw them to yourself. Lord, stir us, Lord. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship that we'd be involved in this work every day of our lives. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Reggie Rogers, the host of Power Jam's The Wake Up Show. What, y'all?
Don't leave us out, Brother Rogers.
I'm saying.
Mother, I wasn't going to do that.
You
but,
wouldn't?
Along with me, join the Break Fast Club.
Hey, y'all.
Holla!
Ready on the left, Brother Rogers.
Amen, Jose. Join us each and every Saturday at 8 o'clock a.m. and again at 8 o'clock p.m. right here on Urban Family Talk.
Oops, my bad, Brother Rogers. Excuse me.
Power Jams.
The Wake Up Show.
Listen to Stacey on the Right with Stacey Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
It's Stacey on the Right. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on Urban Family Talk.
We think of greed as holding on too tightly to what we have. But Dr. Tony Evans says we don't even need to have it to hold it. He'll talk to us about what the term really means as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Greed has nothing to do with how much money you have. It has nothing to do with the size of your bank account, where you live, the house you live in, the clothes you wear, the car you drive. The fact of money or possessions does not equal greed. You can be rich and greedy and poor and greedy. Because greed has to do with something else that affects things and money and possessions. Greed, in biblical terms, has to deal with whether you have placed the physical ahead of the spiritual, whether your pursuit of things has blocked God out. You are greedy even when you love the money that you don't have, because your passionate pursuit of it, even if you don't have it, has blocked out the priority of God, God's will, and God's kingdom in your life. And once God is made second, boxed out, and the physical trumps the spiritual, you have become greedy, or as the scripture calls it, the love of money, or what money can buy, has taken over you.
Keeping God first makes more sense when you think of your life in terms of forever instead of for now. Check out Tony's CD series, The Eternal Perspective, at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can know? This far, and who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation.
Olsi Mullen, the song Redeemer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of a passion for the passion of Christ. Taking time during this particular time of the year when we celebrate in a special way the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, taking the time both to read through the different stories of the passion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do it, but also take time to do it with your family as well. And especially, parents, let's be sure and help our children. Let me remind you also that it's so wise for us as parents, especially when our children are young, but even as they're growing older, to on a pretty regular basis invite and encourage them to make the step of praying to invite Jesus Christ into their heart to become the Lord and Savior of their life. And of course, if they've already made that step, inviting and encouraging them at home to pray a rededication prayer. Now, if you're wondering why would one want to do that, well, the fact is lots and lots of children can't come to know Christ while they're at home. And for many, sometimes the atmosphere in church, it just doesn't happen there. But on the other hand, if you on a regular basis as a parent invite your child to make the step of inviting Christ to come in as Lord and Savior or to recommit their heart to the Lord, that's a great thing because many a child will get saved at home. But also, then there are many children who will on a pretty regular basis recommit your heart to the Lord. Now, keep in mind, you really can't do that too often because it's really a wise thing for us as believers individually, each of us, to on a daily basis recommit our hearts and our lives to the Lord. Because spiritually, again, there are many forces trying to pull us away, discourage us, or to trip us up. So recommitting your heart to the Lord on a regular basis and inviting your children to do the same is a great, great thing to do. And also, while I'm on that topic, keep in mind, not only do I want to encourage you to help and encourage your children to read through the resurrection stories, but even beyond this time of the year, remember, it's a wise thing, parents, for us to regularly, on a daily basis, have our children to come and read the word out loud to us. Now, again, I recall just in as my children were young, I'd have them to read three chapters. Now, some think, oh, that's way too much. Well, now, remember this. You can read your average three chapters from God's word in about maybe 15 minutes. But your average sitcom or cartoon may last 30 minutes. Your average movie lasts about 2 hours. And video games, sadly, sometimes last 2 and 3 hours if parents let them. Remember, your child, one of the greatest things that will bless you, one of the most fruitful things your child can do on any given day is spend time reading God's word out loud to you. So I would encourage you to be sure and take time to do that. So this week, let them read the resurrection stories. But beyond this week, let them read the word out loud to you consistently. It will bless them tremendously because remember, amongst other things, God's word is pure light. It ministers to the mind, body, and spirit of whoever reads it, including our children as well. Picking up now in Mark chapter 16, we're reading the resurrection story as drawn from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb where the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, they appeared in another form to 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Again, it was Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 20. Now, once again, as we look at the first part of the chapter, again, you see it specifically mentions three of the ladies. It mentions, obviously, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. They'd bought spices and they came with the intention of anointing the body of Jesus. But of course, to their delight, they find out he has risen from the dead. And of course, entering the tomb, they don't find Jesus there, but there is an angel there. And of course, the angel lets them know, don't be afraid. He's risen. See the place where they lay. Go tell his disciples and Peter he's going before you into Galilee. There you'll see him as he said to you. Now, keep in mind, again, the first persons, as we already pointed out, the first persons to carry the gospel were the women who came to the tomb. And, you know, let that be a word of encouragement to all of you Christian women. Again, God always has and always will use women in a unique way to be faithful servants. Many a church today has a greater number of women than men. Many times they're the most faithful members of the church. And the reality is God wants faithful servants. Whether they're men or women, boys or girls, God wants faithful servants. So whoever you might be, women and men listening today, remember, God is looking for faithfulness. That's what God uses, faithful people that are willing to step up and do what he's simply told us to do. Faithful to be students of the Word of God, faithfully reading the Word of God daily, faithful being a person of prayer, giving of your time, sacrificing the time to really spend time with God one-on-one in prayer, praying about the needs and the concerns of God's kingdom, as well as praying about the needs and the concerns of your family, your loved ones, and friends as well. But faithfulness to do what we know God has called us to do. Faithful to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. How tragic it is that for many believers, witnessing is just not a part of their life or their lifestyle. But God has clearly told us in the Great Commission to go into all the world and make disciples. We're to preach the gospel to every creature. So all of us are to be involved in this wonderful and important work. Also, God uses faithful believers in the area of giving as well. All of us are called to give of our time, our talent, our substance, the treasure God has entrusted to us. We're all called to be givers. Faithful givers help to carry the work of God forward in the world, all over the world. So just as these faithful women were at the tomb, God was able to use them to proclaim to the world first that he is risen. And of course, as the story goes on to explain, verse 9 says, now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. She goes and tells the disciples, and sadly, they did not believe. Verse 12 says, after that he appeared in another form to them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. So that when the two individuals who on the road to Emmaus saw Jesus, they hurried back and told the disciples. And the disciples didn't believe them either initially. But notice what Jesus does when he appears to them. Verse 14 says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who'd seen him after he'd risen. Now remember, Christ rebukes them, but the Lord doesn't linger long there. He quickly goes ahead and commissions them to go forward to do his work. You know, it's important to understand this too. When we make mistakes, and as people we do, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you or I make mistakes, we should confess it to God, repent of it, confess it to God, ask him to forgive us, and then just pick up and keep going in obedience. You know, if we feel like we have to wallow in our self-pity, feel bad for a day or weeks or months, and just feel like, well, God can't use me because I messed up. That's the devil's lie and his tactic. He wants to slow you down from doing God's work. When you mess up, confess it, ask God to forgive you, then get up, dust yourself off, and keep going following God. God has work for you to do today. So confess sin, get rid of it, and get up immediately. God has so much work to be done. He doesn't want us to waste time feeling sorry for ourselves or feeling bad about the sin. Confess it, get it behind you, ask God to forgive you, and pick up and keep going. God has work for us to do. And notice what that work involves. He specifically points this out. Verse 17 says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." By faith, we can believe that God will use us to do all of these things, because remember, we're not the one doing it. We're simply vessels. It's the Holy Spirit who reaches through us and does the work. We're simply to be obedient, and we're to trust God. So if you want to know, well, can God use me to cast out demons? Well, if you're a believer, yes, he can. And if you wonder, well, can God use me to speak in tongues? Yes, because that's the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. Can God use me to preserve me from if I drink anything deadly and it not hurt me? By faith, yes, he can do it. He did it then. He can do it today as well. Can God use me to lay hands on sick people and they will recover? That's the word of God. That's what it says. God can use us to do any and all of these things as we simply trust God. Remember, the word of God says, the just shall live by faith. Lord, thank you for the chance for us to be vessels, servants you can use to get your work done. You've commissioned us to carry the gospel to the world. You've commissioned us to be vessels through which your Spirit can work to do your work in the world today. Lord, stir us to be a people that are listening to your Holy Spirit, who are looking for opportunities to be used by you every single day. And help us, Lord, to be about our Father's business by simply obeying what we know you've already told us to do. Lord, help us to not be stubborn. Help us to not be lazy. Help us to not be negligent, but help us to simply do what you've told us to do, to be witnesses in the world and vessels of your love, your mercy, and your grace in the world, a world that's hurting so badly. A world where people are dying every day. A world where people are going through so much heartache and turmoil who desperately need to hear the good news that Jesus saves and Jesus can help us with any and all the challenges of life. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to be vessels through which you can work to get your work done today and every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we've looked at the topic of a passion for the passion of Christ. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.